May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, it's probably not that often that we remember a sermon from quite a long time ago, but I do still remember a sermon I heard last century on this particular passage, the gospel passage. It's not because the preacher said anything profound in that sermon, but because I had never heard a sermon that so clearly avoided getting to the point. The preacher outlined at great length how Jesus turned a question that was designed to entrap him to questioning the very assumptions of his questioners, of the Sadducees. The preacher seemed to suggest that at times we also should not so much respond to questions, but rather need to change the very assumptions on which they are founded. But in the whole sermon, he never ever discussed the issue at hand, namely the resurrection and eternal life. Well, with that example in mind, I want to do the very opposite and will discuss the issues raised by the question of the Sadducees and Jesus' answer. We'll leave Jesus' question-answering technique to one side for the moment. So one of the clear disagreements between Sadducees and Pharisees at Jesus' time was about the resurrection of the dead. The Pharisees believed and proclaimed that the faithful would be raised at the end of time, and those who were found righteous at the time of judgment would be in God's presence. The Sadducees, on the other hand, denied any resurrection of the dead. For them, this life was all that there was, with God blessing us in this life or leaving us in our sins. It's clear from the Gospels that Jesus was closer to the understanding of the Pharisees in this question. He talked about the resurrection of the dead, the judgment at the end of time, and eternal life. That understanding of resurrection is already there in the Old Testament in some form, but it could also have been interpreted in the way the Sadducees had done. And so Jesus shed greater light on the question of the resurrection in this case during a dispute with the Sadducees. Now, first of all, I think we have to give it to the Sadducees. Their question was a good one. The resurrection does seem incongruent with some provisions of the law and some of our very own experiences. This is particularly the case if we see the resurrection as a continuation of our lives here on earth with very little change. Now, one of the most frequent questions that I often hear about eternity, particularly in rest homes, is the following. Will I see my wife, my husband, my son, my daughter, my brother, my sister, my father, my mother again? After all, we cannot bear losing our loved ones, and the thought that our love will continue, that this earthly life is not the end of our love, that gives us comfort. For many, life is nothing without others. It's nothing without the love we have for those around us. And that is good, for we have not been made to be alone. We have been made to be in community, to be together with others. And so if we are who we are because we are together with others, we are only truly fulfilled if we are together with those whom we love. And so the Sadducees ask, given that marriage is such a strong bond, what will it be like after the resurrection? Well, if there is a resurrection. But indeed, Jesus did cut across those thoughts. Even though there will be continuity in the resurrection, there will also be radical newness, he says. And the most important community in that age will be our communion with God, our being children of God. The love that we have for one another will be part of that communion, but it will be transformed. Jesus compares those participating in that life more to angels, those who behold God's goodness. That's what later theology has called the beatific vision. It is the vision of God in glory by those who are saved. It is when we no longer see by the reflection in a mirror, but then we shall see God face to face. Then we will know God and be fully known. The beatific vision describes the time when God will be our all in all, when we are in the presence of beauty beyond knowing. It is the time when we'll see that our Redeemer lives, when we will see God with our own eyes and all our longing will be stilled and our hearts at rest at last. The age to come is not just a slightly improved version of the present, Jesus says. It will be a new age in which God's presence will be immediately with us. That is the difference. All our pain, our hurt, our love, our doubt, our faith, our hopes will be transformed into a glorious new day. It is our being children of God that will be at the center of the resurrection life. So then what happens to the relationships we have formed here on earth? Clearly, they won't be as important in the age to come, particularly in comparison with God's presence. But beyond that, we probably get into the realm of speculation. But one thing we need to raise is that here on earth, we do not only have good and uplifting relationships. Our relationships here are a mixture of good and bad, of uplifting and demeaning. The more loving and good they are, the more they make us the humans we are meant to be. And in that sense, they also continue in the age to come. I certainly believe that all our lives are held by God. All our love and disappointment, hurt and joy, doubt and faith, hope and despair are transformed by God, to whom we can come as children who are forgiven through Jesus Christ. If our lives are fulfilled by being in God's presence, by seeing God face to face, then I think it's right and proper to already live towards that in our own age. Honoring and praising God, seeking God's presence, we can already do that now, though imperfectly. We only see as in a mirror, we only experience faintly, but in this we most closely touch eternity. Now, some of you, particularly if you came from a Presbyterian background, you would remember the first question of the Westminster Catechism, which is, what is the chief end of man? And I think the answer is imbued with a spirit and biblical wisdom. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. It is not worry, not constant diligence that is at the center of our lives, but joy and God's glory. Amen.